And welcome to Chapel Hill. Once again, my name is Jamal Baker. I'm the Chapel Hill Atlanta campus pastor. Just want to give you a warm Chapel Hill welcome. If you are a guest with us, so glad to have you here today. Amen. Wow, what a powerful time in worship. I believe that the Lord is just setting the atmosphere for his word. Just before we get into the word, let me just mention one quick thing. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here at the Atlanta campus, we're having our Women of Valor Interest Meeting. And so my wife and I will be here as a part of that. And we're just excited about what we've already heard in terms of how God is moving in the lives of women through Women of Valor. And so if any of the ladies are interested, you can still sign up at our guest services counter, and we'd be glad to host you there. As Jesse mentioned, immediately following today's worship experience is our Growth Track One Day class. So if you're new to Chapel Hill, you haven't had an opportunity to participate in that class, we've got maybe 8 to 10 spaces available. It's free lunch and free childcare. So we'd love to have you. You can just walk right out of here and enter our gym, and we will be glad to host you. All right? Well, you ready for the word? Amen. Amen. So am I. Let's pray as we invite the Holy Spirit, the teacher of God's word. Heavenly Father, we bless you today. We thank you for you already showing your presence in this place today. And now, Lord, as we open your word, Father, we ask that you use that word to speak to each of us specifically. Father, you know the reason, the purpose for which you have sent each of us into this room today, and you know exactly what you desire for us to hear. But I pray that every heart is ready and open and willing for exactly what you sent us to receive. God, we give you this time. Have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Do you have, I don't know if you're like me, I've got these areas in my life where I look at my life and I just think, man, God has blessed me so incredibly. I mean, you have that a time where maybe there's something that's going on in your life and you're thinking, wow, this is so good. I don't even deserve this. You ever had those experiences? Maybe it was a job situation, or, you know, maybe you got a miraculous healing or something. You know, on June of this month, I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage to this beautiful lady right here. And I look at her and I go, I don't deserve her. And her mother probably says, yeah, you still, she's here. She's here today. That's why I'm messing with her. She's like, yeah, I told you, boy, you better watch yourself. But I look at my wife as a grace gift. Something that God gave me. I've done a lot to not deserve her. So I'm so grateful that God gave her to me in spite of me. Amen. But see, this is the kind of God that we serve. He is a God who gives grace gifts. That's what he's about. He is in the business of giving us that which we don't deserve. And so today, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about the grace gifts that he brings. We just sang this song that his goodness is running after me. Man, Just to think about that God's goodness is chasing after you. And then when he catches you, he wants to give you something that you don't deserve. His grace, his goodness. And that's what the Holy Spirit is after. He's got these gifts that are available for us, and he's chasing us down to get them. Now, many of you are familiar with the word charismatic. And charismatic, as it pertains to the church, it's a word that defines millions of believers that believe in what we would call the New Testament working of the Holy Spirit. But I do know that even as I say that word charismatic and I attach it to the church, some of you who have maybe been around church for a while, you may start to bristle a little bit, because sometimes there's some negative vibes that go along with charismatic or Pentecostal. You know, those words can sometimes be used synonymously, and there's sometimes some emotional extremes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been in those services. And there's some emotional extremes. And sometimes when you start to share that, people are like, I don't think so. But what I want to encourage you is that as we teach about the Holy Spirit, as we teach about his operations, we believe here at the Church at Chapel Hill that the gifts of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit, are not for yesterday. They are still for today. That God still works, and God can work in those ways as long as we maintain order in the church. And so we believe that. Now I want to teach just a little bit today. Can I just be a little teachy today? I want to give you some instruction about these things. So as we talk about that word charismatic, right inside of that word is the word charisma. And charisma, in its original meaning, it means literally grace gift. Grace gift. It's a gift that is given that cannot be earned. And God loves us so much that his desire is to provide grace gifts to us and for us. Now, let me give you a biblical definition of charisma. It's going to come up on the screen. You might want to take a picture of it and study it later. It goes this way. Charisma is the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a spiritual gift for the benefit of others. Charisma is this instantaneous enablement from the Holy Spirit. It gives any believer, somebody say any believer, the ability to operate that spiritual gift for the benefit of someone else. See, it's important that you understand that the spiritual gifts of God are not reserved for the super spiritual. They are not reserved for the vocational ministers. They are available for any believer so that others might obtain and experience the benefit that God has in mind. So, I want to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. As the Apostle Paul is teaching about spiritual gifts, it reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I do not want you to be ignorant, he says. So obviously, in the first century church, in the church of Corinth, there was a lot of activity relative to the spiritual gifts, but there's a lot of confusion about what the order and how things needed to transpire and what the gifts were even for. And so he's teaching them about this. It goes on. He says this, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." And so as you go back and you look at this particular verse, it takes you back to a couple weeks ago when we began this series and we talked about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We talked about the triune God, that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you look at each of these verses, it says, but the same Spirit, that refers to the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, that refers to the Lord Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The same God refers to God the Father. So you see right in here, he's referring to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's important for us to know is that this one God is behind all of the operations of the gift of the Spirit for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Now, that word activities in that same verse, that word activities, it comes from the Greek word. The Greek word is energema. Say energema. Look at y'all. Y'all speaking Greek already. It's the same word that we get our word energy from. So what is the Apostle Paul saying to us? He's teaching us that when you plug into a spiritual gift, there is spiritual energy that comes from the person who receives that gift. There's spiritual energy. See, we want that in our church. We want spiritual energy in the parking lot, James. People ought to encounter the Spirit of God in the parking lot. If you don't encounter the Spirit of God in the parking lot, come tell me about it. You ought to encounter the Spirit of God when you touch that person who's opening the door. When the person is in this room as a host sitting, you, spiritual energy should come forth from them. There ought to be some spiritual energy in the kids' ministry, Mike. I know there's a lot of physical energy in there, but there ought to be some spiritual energy in there. There ought to be spiritual energy coming out of the people that you pass by in the hallway. When you go to guest services, there ought to be the gift of God touching and energizing the lives of people. This place should be saturated with the presence of God. Why? So that people can encounter a living God. That's what he has in mind. So why does the Holy Spirit give these gifts? What's the outcome when this spiritual energy comes out of the life of the believer? Let's look at verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Say, profit of all. Listen, he is saying, I want these spiritual gifts to operate in you so that everybody will benefit. So that everyone can experience the benefit of being in relationship with me, being in connection with me. It is for the profit of all. Now, again, who qualifies for these gifts? Everybody. Everybody who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a candidate of his spiritual gifts arising in you or being transmitted to you from relationship with him. He gives us these powerful spiritual gifts so that we can be a blessing to one another. You know, one of the things that I love is that I'm glad that the Lord doesn't discriminate about the gifts that he gives to people, that you don't have to become a professional Christian, a professional minister in order to be a candidate to receive God's gifts. Because there have been people in this church who have no titles, who have no official training, who haven't been to seminary, who have come and blessed my socks off with the gift of God that's in them. And God has used people to say things, and they didn't even know what they were saying. They didn't even know what I was facing, but God just intersected us in the hall, and they said something, and they went on, and I still haven't even told some of them. But anyone who makes yourself available for the presence of God to work in your life. See, here's the attitude that we want you to have as we are teaching in this series. We want you to say this to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on, let's say that out loud. Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on, let's say it one more time. Holy Spirit, have your way. See, that's what he wants. See, that is the posture that God is saying, oh, can I have my way? Because if I can have my way, I've got some stuff that I would love to get into you that you can get out to others that will advance my kingdom for the benefit of all. That's what he is up to. Now, let's talk about what some of the gifts are. There are, in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to put a passage up on the screen. We're going to read through what those 9 gifts are. We're only going to teach on 3 of those today, but I want you to see what they are. Each time I get to a gift, I'm just going to say that's one of the gifts. So it goes, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. That's one gift. Through the Spirit, to another, a word of knowledge. That's another gift. Through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. That's another gift. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That's another gift. To another, working of miracles. Next gift, to another prophecy. Next gift, to another discerning of spirits. Next gift, to another different kinds of tongues. That's another gift. To another interpretation of tongues. So that makes up the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But then he concludes by saying, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. How does he distribute them? As he wills, according to the will of the Spirit. So these gifts are categorized in 3 major categories. The first one is the revelation gifts. Those are the 3 that we're going to talk about today. And next week, we're going to talk about the next 6, which are category number 2, vocal gifts. Category number 3, power gifts. Amen? Now, one of the things that oftentimes happens, and those of you who have been around church for a while, especially in maybe charismatic or Pentecostal circles, people might say something like this. I have a gift of healing. Or I have a gift of wisdom. See, the problem with that is that's really not the way the scripture describes that. Because these are the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts belong to who? The gifts belong to the Spirit of God. I like to think of it like this. They belong to the Spirit of God, and he loans them to us. He loans them to us for his own purpose as he wills. In fact, I think it's really dangerous whenever you get into possessive language with anything relative to God. When people start saying, my ministry, oh my goodness. Because here's the truth. The scripture says you don't even own yourself. You don't even own yourself. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. I don't even belong to me. Everything is his. Everything is under his ownership. So we need to be careful not to take possession of things that do not belong to us. Why do I share this with you? Because here's what I know is going to happen as we continue to make room for the Holy Spirit, as we continue to say, have your way. Listen, when you pray those prayers, he will have his way. And when you open yourself up, he will move in your life in a powerful way. And he is going to begin to give some of you who have never even experienced gifts of the Spirit, he's going to give you the gift. But when it is given to you, don't you take possession. Don't you take ownership of that which belongs to him. And then here's the way he operates. Because he's not going to say, I'm going to give James a gift of wisdom, and then that's yours. You take that, and that's how you serve me. No, because he may give you a gift of wisdom for today, and he may say, oh, but tomorrow you're going to encounter someone. I need to give you a gift of healing for that person. So he gives the gifts according to his will for the benefit of all. The gift is not given to you for you. Now let me just share this with you too, because sometimes people don't realize that just because you have a gift and you saw God use you to be a blessing to someone with that gift, and then you think, well, why didn't it work for me? Because it wasn't for you. See, the gift that God gives you is for someone else, which means that the gift that he gave someone else is for you. See, this is one of the reasons why we have to be careful that we don't continue to stay in relationship with one another. Because we can think, oh, I've got a gift and I'm going to go use my gift, or I don't need those people at the church. Well, how are you going to get the blessing of the gift that God had placed in them for you if you're not in their face for them to give it? And so it's important that we understand community and how God uses these gifts in the context of community. Now, here's something else. I don't get to choose which gift I want. I don't get to look at Brother Andrew and go, man, I really like the way that brother can prophesy. give me that. No, that's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. He gives us gifts in accordance with his will for whatever purpose and assignment he is calling us to. There's no point in being jealous about what someone else has. Oftentimes we get jealous about something that someone else has and we miss what we have. So look at what it says here, verse 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. All right, now let's talk about the gifts. I want to teach about the gifts, the three revelation gifts. So let's begin at verse 8. We go back to verse 8 again of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so what I want to teach on right now is that first revelation gift, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Here's how it is defined. A word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit allowing you to know something specific that you didn't learn by natural means. So you can't study for this one. This doesn't fit into the category of study to show thyself approved, a workman under God. It doesn't fit into that category. This is special knowledge that the Lord gives to you for someone else for specific purposes. So let me give you an example of this. I'm going to give you a personal example and a scriptural example. So I mentioned in the message last week that back in 2002, my wife and I had been a part of a church, and we would love the church. It was incredible. I got ordained in the church, and nothing was wrong, but God said, it's time to shift to something new. Right in the middle of everything going great, he said, it's time to shift to something new. And so we're wrestling with this, and God confirmed it very clearly in so many different ways. And one of the ways that he confirmed it was in a really profound way. I was down at a meeting at a friend of mine's church, and I was sitting on the front row, and a guy was preaching. And let me just confess, I wasn't enjoying the message. I was not enjoying the message. I was like, man, you know, I was being real critical. I was like, you know, you could have used a different illustration. Man, it's just, you know, why don't you stop yelling and screaming? Why don't you just teach the people a little bit? I mean, I was just going through all of these things. And in the middle of the guy yelling about something, he walked by and he stopped. Never seen this guy before in my life. He looked at me and he said, the Lord is changing the direction of your ministry. He had no idea how much we were wrestling about the change in the direction of our ministry and where we were going and what we were doing. And I had two of the guys who were with me who were elders serving with me, and they looked at me like, did he just say that? And then he went right back on preaching and yelling and screaming. I have no idea what he preached about. No idea what the message was about. But I do know that the Lord interrupted what he was doing and used the gift of the word of knowledge to speak really specific to our situation. Let me give you one more. I didn't share this one in the first service, but I got a little bit more time. So let me share this one. Here's another personal example. So 2015, here we are. We're at the Church of Chapel Hill. I'm functioning as the director of the counseling ministry out of the Douglasville campus. I'm doing that. I'm content with that. And then Pastor Dave gives me the opportunity to consider being the Atlanta campus pastor. And so my wife and I, we're like, she's like, wait a minute, I thought we were done with that. I thought that pastor's wife thing, I thought I wasn't going to have to. I thought, what is Jesus doing? That ain't Jesus. It's not Jesus. Is it Jesus? And so we're praying through this and wrestling through it. And then one morning she gets a text message from her mother's best friend, who's also named Tamika. She sends her a text message, and this is not something that happens very often. She sends her this text message, and she says, I woke up this morning, and you guys were on my heart, and I was just praying for you and Jamal and what the Lord is doing in your life. And she says, I don't know what this word means, but maybe you understand. The Lord told me to tell you he is changing the direction of your ministry. So I share this with you to help you understand. See, the Lord gives these gifts for the benefit of those that he's directing, for the benefit of those that he's speaking into. He wants to use your life to be a blessing for others. It's so important. Let me give you a scriptural example of this. John chapter 4, Jesus goes through Samaria. He stops at the well. He meets this woman at the well. He begins this dialogue with her. He's having this conversation with her. And then at some point in the conversation, he says this. He says, go get your husband and bring your husband back so we can continue this conversation. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. And then she goes, oh, I don't have a husband. And he goes, you have rightly spoken. In fact, you have had five. And number six, you didn't even bother to marry him. Y'all just shacking. Okay, that's not exactly what he said, but, you know, I'm trying to put this in 21st century context. But understand this. He didn't reveal that. He didn't have that word of knowledge in order to condemn her for where she was. That's not what he was doing. He experienced the gift of the word of knowledge to help her. He's saying, I'm calling out to you. I want to show you something. I know what you have been looking for in husbands 1 through 5, and you still haven't found it with number 6. Here I am. I am what you have been looking for. So the word of knowledge wasn't to condemn her. The word of knowledge was to build her. The word of knowledge was to bring her into her purpose and to her destiny. That is why God uses the gifts of the Spirit to bring us into our destiny. Which is why, as God begins to release these things to you, you must have humility. It is not so that you can just be seen as super spiritual. God doesn't care. What he wants is your gift to bless someone else. Are you following me? All right, let me keep going. All right, I'm going to skip over that. Now, let me just give you this one thought about the word of knowledge. This is a great definition for you to keep in mind. See, the word of knowledge produces facts that God wants us to know so that we can effectively serve others. Produces facts that God wants us to know so that we can effectively serve others. The second revelation gift is this, the discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10, it reads this way. It says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. Now notice that the way this is described, the gift is called discerning of spirits. It is not called a gift of discernment. Now, some of you who have been around church a long time, you kind of know what I'm talking about because you will hear people say these words. I have a gift of discernment. No, you don't, because there ain't one. There is not a gift of discernment. Now, do we need to have understanding of things? Do we need to have the ability to examine facts and interpret them well? Of course, we need that. But the gift is the gift of discerning of spirits. Oftentimes, when people say, I have a gift of discernment, what they mean is, I think I know what her motives are. I think I know what his motives are. That's not a gift of discernment. That's the spirit of suspicion. Oh, by the way, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. In fact, oftentimes where that comes from, let me throw on my counselor hat just for a moment. Oftentimes where that comes from is that people who have been broken in their lives and they've been hurt and harmed by others, what they do is they walk away from that hurt and that harm and they wear these set of glasses called suspicion. And everyone that they look at everyone, when are you gonna betray me? You said it this way, and because you said it this way, you probably meant this. No, that's not a spiritual gift. See, what has to happen in our lives is that when we experience brokenness and woundedness, we've got to allow the Lord to do a healing in our lives so that we don't constantly carry the baggage and the junk of our past and utilize a view in our present that is no longer relevant. It's so important. So let's talk about what the gift of discerning of spirits is. We've talked about what it is not. Now, let me give you a scriptural example of this, because here's what it does. See, the Holy Spirit, he manifests this gift at a particular time to determine what the spirit of operation may be in a situation, to determine, is this God operating or is this the enemy operating? So Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, it says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, this is Paul and Silas, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. So here's what's going on here. Here's this young woman filled with a spirit. And she's not saying anything that's wicked, is she? No, she's going around saying, these are the men of God. They're going to show you the way to be saved. But here is what the Apostle Paul and Silas recognized. She is a distraction. This is a distraction to what we are doing. We're trying to preach the gospel to these people. And in the middle of the sermon, she's shouting out. So where is the attention going? The attention is not going to what they're saying. The attention is going to her. It's a distraction. So what did the Apostle Paul do? He removed the distraction. The gift of discerning of spirits helps us with that. Here's the thing that I love about this passage. Where were they on their way to? They were on their way to the place of prayer. They were on their way to do the work of the ministry. They were on their way to serve God. And what pops up? A spiritual distraction. See, this is an important word for you because some of the stuff that's going on in your life, this is the enemy bringing about a spiritual distraction. And you're calling it things that it really isn't. And you need the wisdom of the Lord to say, wait a minute, is there a spirit in operation here that I need to address? Oh my goodness. See, I know that I'm on the right track right here because, man, this week, oh my goodness, there have been so many things that have come up this week. And not only this week, this morning. Oh my goodness, this has been one of the most distracted Sunday mornings I have had in weeks. From stuff happening here, the church, and then my phone is buzzing and somebody's jumping off a cliff here and somebody is going in all this morning. And I laughed. I said, I know what this is. So instead of leaving it out and getting mad at people, you know what I did? I went in my office and I did one of these. Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to allow this distraction to continue. I see the working of the wickedness of the spirit, and I take authority over that now in Jesus' name. You've got to learn to take authority over the foolishness that's going on in your life. You've got to learn to rise up in the name of Jesus, in the power of his spirit, and declare, no more. You have come far enough. No more. See, that's what the Apostle Paul and Silas did. They just said, okay, we're not going to go have a conversation. Oh, no. We're not. We're just going to deal directly with the Spirit. And for some of you, you're thinking, I just had a string of bad luck. It's not a string of bad luck. It's not a string of bad luck. You've got to stand and take authority. Who is this for? The follower of the Lord Jesus. If you've given your life to him, you do not have to allow the spiritual distractions to wreak havoc in your life. You have to learn to take authority and recognize the enemy is operating. Now listen, this is not a license to go blame everything on the devil. I preached that message last year. But there are times when the enemy is moving and operating, and you need the Lord to show you what to do. Number three, as we get ready to close. So the first gift is a word of knowledge. The second is the gift of discerning of spirits. The third is a word of wisdom. So 1 Corinthians 12:8 again, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So here's how this gift is defined. The word of wisdom is simply a divine answer or solution for a particular question or challenge. Does anybody have any questions or challenges in your life that you need some supernatural wisdom for? Oh, absolutely. We all do. We all have some things that we need God to intervene with supernatural wisdom. I'm going to give you a biblical example and a personal example. So in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is one of a group of prisoners who've been taken captive by these Roman soldiers, and they're on a ship. And the Apostle Paul had already said to the Roman captain, listen, we should not get on this ship. It will end in peril. So he already had a word of wisdom about the direction. Do not get on the ship. So they go ahead, they get on the ship, and they find themselves in a 14-day storm. Can't even imagine. Raining, wind, waves, 14 days without stopping. And then some of the guys are panicking. And they're like, okay, we need to abandon the ship. And the Apostle Paul stood up and said, listen, men, you didn't listen to me the first time, but listen to me now. Do not abandon the ship. Anyone who abandons the ship will die. And so I guess they said, well, we didn't follow him the first time, so let's go ahead and follow him this time. So they stayed on the ship. The ship gets near the shore. The ship crashes, it breaks up. They get close enough to the shore for the swimmers to swim. Those who can't swim, how do they make it? They grab pieces of boards, and I guess they kick their way to the shore. No one dies. He gave them a word of wisdom that spoke specifically to the situation that they were in. And because he spoke that word of wisdom, all benefited from it. So I'll give you a personal example of this in my own life. So there we were. We had left my full-time assignment in ministry. And now I'm working, serving at the Church of Chapel Hill, volunteering, but I'm working. And I'm working a 100% commission job, and I hate sales. And I got this wife and these two little kids, and my wife's home with the kids, and I'm in this thing for a couple years, and I'm just like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, I was here in ministry and I was doing this and I followed you to come into this. And I know you told me because you confirmed it in so many different ways, but this stuff is not adding up. And I'm having this conversation with my wife. We're sitting in our living room and I'm going, I don't even really know. Like what, I had these dreams of going back to graduate school and finishing my master's in counseling. And I just don't even know, but I just remember her kind of stopping me in the middle of that and saying, stop talking about it. Go back to grad school. Just do it. And then, the first time I was like, no, but see, you don't understand. I got you. I got these kids. I got to put some food on the table. I mean, I just don't even have time to even think about that. She said, just do it. Go back. Finish it. Now, the second time, I'm like, you know what? This is not her. This is God speaking. So I got up from that situation. I walked into the kitchen because here's what I knew. I knew I was going to have to leave this work that I was doing, this commission-based work, and I needed to find my way back into the counseling work that I had done before. I had worked at a psychiatric hospital years before, but I had been gone. I turn on the computer. I go to my old company's website, and would you know, that the very position that I had left, they got a new job. And there I am saying, wait a minute. Like, is this for real? So I call up my old boss. I was like, hey, I see y'all got a job posted. Can I come back? And so I go in, it's like, yeah, you got an interview. So I go in to the interview. And it's funny because as I'm sharing this story, one of the guys who was sitting in that interview room is sitting right here in the church. It's Dexter. He was one of the group that interviewed me for that job. And I was the only person who interviewed for that job that didn't already have a master's degree or a PhD. And for some reason, they hired me. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying you've got to learn to ask God, Lord, show me what you have for me. Show me what you're doing. See, here's two things that God is interested in. Number one, he's interested in giving you a gift that can bless someone else. And he's also interested in connecting you with someone who has a gift that can bless you. These things don't thrive in isolation. And so I want to continue to encourage you, have this posture before God. Lord, have your way. Come on, let's say it again. Lord, have your way. Say it again. Lord, have your way. This is so important because he's chasing us down with his goodness to get gifts to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, oh God. Lord, as we offer our lives to you, Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Would you show them what you have for them? Lord, as they leave this place today, as they continue to pray that prayer, Lord, have your way. God, show them that your way for them is good. Lord, I pray that all over our campuses, as we are teaching this word on the message of the Holy Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit would just be released in people. I pray that you would use this, God. Use this message to draw people close to you. And perhaps there's somebody in this room today who really needs to receive the gift of salvation. It's the qualifying gift for all of the other gifts. And perhaps you may be in this place and you would acknowledge, Pastor, I am far from a close relationship with Jesus. But I believe something that you are saying today is stirring inside of me, calling me to surrender my life to him today. Maybe you were close at one point, but you walked away. But now he's calling you back. If you fit into either of those categories on the count of three, I just want you to slip up your hand. And I want to pray with you and for you. You're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. One, two, three. Hands going up. Yes. Another. Yes. Now what I want is all of us to pray, join in prayer with those who lifted their hands. Let's pray this all together as one. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I confess that I need you. And then say, Lord Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross, that you died to pay for my sin. And then say, Lord Jesus, I believe on the third day that you rose from the grave. You have ascended to be with the Father. And you have everlasting life. And because you have everlasting life, so can I. And just say, now, Jesus, from today, I'll follow you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my strength as you give me grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise in this place. Hey, listen, I want us to end with a song. Could you stand with me? You know, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so gracious to us. Can we just end with a song that just declares how great he is?